And welcome back to another edition of High and Wide Full Circle. I'm your host, as always, Jack Smith, with, as always, my co-host, Steve Ferrari. This is the home of the Metropolitan Report, Mass Mutual East, whatever it is this season, next season, and the following seasons to come. Some around the NHL news, and as always, we bring it back to your Philadelphia Flyers, completing the circle, hence full circle. We're going to talk about whatever grinds our gears, and you're going to hear how exactly we feel about it. And we have some serious playoffs. We're getting down. We're down to our final four. Steve, just an overall thought process. I'm sure they're tired of hearing us by now, because we have the Full Circle Takeover show on the flagship show. There is something I kind of want to bring up. We had discussed some rumors, some speculation, some of which was from Anthony Sanfilippo quoting about Nolan Patrick. I actually quoted the article. The article quoted him, and there was a little bit of drama about that. I'm not going to get into that. I'll just state my opinion, and I believe that where there's smoke, there's fire with Patrick in this scenario. I can't say for sure. I definitely trust a guy like Anthony Sanfilippo, but just wanted to address that because we did report that as it was speculation, not news, but I did take a quote from somebody in an article that was quoting somebody else, so I just wanted to get that out there. Before we get into it, real quick, as you may know, CBD oil has been cornering the market when it comes to alleviating joint pain, anxiety, insomnia, general pain relief, and inflammation. As someone who suffers with bouts of anxiety and now insomnia that I have a newborn, getting my hands on some reliable relief makes the difference. That's where Green Compass comes in. You name it, and there's a product from Green Compass that can help you out. Interested in buying or selling CBD? Or maybe you just want some more information about CBD oils, reach out to Chelsea Gavetti at 610-329-9924 and mention the High and Wide podcast. Again, that's Chelsea Gavetti at 610-329-9924. Mention this podcast for an additional discount on your first purchase. And with the price of CBD oils, I highly suggest dropping our podcast. Okay, let's get into it. We are down to our final four, as I alluded to. I'll just, Steve, overall thoughts on the playoffs to this point.
I got to say, round two, while it was still playoff hockey, still love seeing it, especially that Bruins-Islanders series, which we'll talk about in a little bit. It was not quite the same as round one. I think some of the series, I mean, my predictions were pretty bad. I think I missed on all four, but that's neither here nor there. They didn't go as deep as I would have liked to see. Colorado, I feel like kind of disappointed. The Canadians, that was a snoozer of a series, sweeping the Jets. Not quite as exciting as round one, but I think we've got two pretty good matchups. And I'm hoping we get two game sevens. I'll give you my predictions once we tackle those series. But yeah, the more hockey, the better. I think some teams, their stars showed up, some didn't, and it kind of reflected in the results of the series.
So I will go down our predictions. You did miss all four. You had the Bruins in seven, Canes in seven, Avs in six, Leafs in six. You were not alone with the Leafs prediction. I had Colorado in six. That was obviously wrong. I had Boston in six. That was wrong. I had the Leafs in five. They didn't even make it to the rounds. And I did have Tampa in seven. So I got Tampa. That's it. Yeah, really not good across the board right there for all of us. We are down to Golden Knights take out the Avalanche. The way the series started off, that 7-1 or 2 shellacking, and they looked better in game two, but they still lost. I really thought that was how the series was going to go. Kudos to them. They go undefeated from that point on, eliminate probably the heavy favorites. I mean, these are the two top teams in the league, really, when you look at statistics going at it. Your thoughts on that series?
Colorado came out like gangbusters in game one. DeBoer started Lehner. I was very critical of that. But when I look back at it, if you're in the Golden Knights situation, you're Pierre DeBoer. You just came off a seven-game series with the Wild. That was hard fought. Fleury's played a lot of hockey. He's a little bit older. That seemed like, at the time, a mistake. But when I look back on it now, I think that might have been the best thing DeBoer could have done for Fleury. Lehner was in there. If he steals you a game, great. But if not, you knew Colorado was rested. They were going to come out hot, and you just came off a long series. On top of that, you know you're not going to sweep Colorado. They were too good to get swept. So if you lose game one in Colorado, it's like, all right, everybody would expect us to at least lose one game in Colorado. Let's kind of – nobody's going to punt a game in the playoffs, but more or less it's like let's take our licks here and we'll come back stronger for game two. If we still win, great. If not, we're pretty much in the same spot we thought we were going to be. I think it worked out great. You saw Vegas in the first game. They looked sluggish. The Avs just looked maybe two steps quicker. And then the series started to turn around. The top line just couldn't get anything going. And on top of that, the Avs really looked like they were missing a second line center. And you know who that would have been. The guy that just got off in a suspension. Kadri would have fit in great, I think. And I think he could have gotten that series to seven. But the Avs just didn't have the same amount of depth as they were used to. And once you shut down that top line, nobody else really seemed to contribute. And they even at one point moved Landeskog off the top line, and just MacKinnon just couldn't really get going. I know he had a couple points in game six, but it was just a little too late.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. I'm still shocked about it. Golden Knights had really scared me with their lack of speed, but they really seemed to control things after. I mean, and they did look good in game two. They looked, and I think maybe you are onto something with the whole goalie swapping and whatnot. And everybody on the Knights looked good, especially like Mark Stone, Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, they're just studs. And I really think the Flyers should really acquire Seth Jones, because seeing Petrangelo and what he did, and that those big bodies back there, just especially in a playoff series, like sometimes they can really make the difference for you. And it wouldn't surprise me if Colorado is the team in on Seth Jones for that very reason. But yeah, ultimately everybody was a little let down. I wanted to see Colorado. Not many people out there dislike Colorado. Other people, while I respect the organization and the players, I don't think the fans deserve Vegas to be this successful. That's ridiculous. It is what it is. Not going to be that whiny little baby. But so Golden Knights move on. In another surprising series, Canadiens pull off the sweep. I'm kind of not that surprised. After the Scheifele hit, it just didn't look good for the Winnipeg in any way, shape, or form. Steve, your thoughts on this series?
The energy in those North series, I said it when we talked earlier this week, it's just not the same. Having the minimal amount of fans in the building compared to the Coliseum or down in Tampa, it's just there's such a different, or Vegas especially, there's such a different energy. It just doesn't feel like the playoffs. And not to mention, you don't have two of the most exciting teams in the Canadiens and the Jets. The Canadiens just handled them. Carey Price played his butt off. Like, he turned back the clock and he came out swinging in these playoffs. There was a lot of talk that I think I might have brought it up, that he could be one of the expansion guys exposed for Seattle. But man, he played so well. The Canadiens haven't trailed in like 300 and some minutes in that series. Yeah. They just looked like the quicker team, the more complete team. And you're basically down to the last four teams, like last year with the Islanders, Tampa Bay, Golden Knights, and Corey Perry's team. The worm just keeps going, and he's an impact player. He's not the skill player that we saw when he was in Anaheim, but he wills that team to win. And you're right. After the Scheifele hit, look, it was a hockey play. But after that hit, just the whole series, the Jets never looked to get going. And losing a guy like Scheifele is brutal in that kind of series. You know you're going to need some depth scoring, and it changes your entire lineup. And they just never looked like they got over it.
Yeah, it was that. And how about that one little winger they got?
Is he any good? The little guy?
The Caulfield guy, I think that's his name. Might be Cowerflowerfield. I'm not sure. I haven't really heard of him. Yeah, would be real nice to have that kind of talent right now. I know I'm just drilling it home every chance I get, but I mean, come on, it is what it is at this point. Like, because they're going to be in the East. They won't be in our division, but like, how worried are you about Montreal going forward in the sense that they still have Price? Price looks to be playing at a fantastic level.
You know, Cole Caulfield, it looks like he's the early stages of being a stud. They got guys like Suzuki. They got these really big defensemen. Like, they're huge. Like, do you think they could run into cap problems? Do you think they might get old at some point and have a bad balance of players once they start getting older, particularly guys like Weber and whatnot? Or do you think they're just gearing up?
I honestly, that's a tough one to answer because I think they're kind of in a weird middle ground with that. And really, it comes down to Carey Price. If he's on the team and he's performing at 80% of what he normally does and making 10.5 a year, you're going to have a really hard time building a team around him. But I think with Weber's getting a little bit older, Petrie looked good this year, but you got Caulfield. Toffoli, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he scores goals, scores big time goals. Suzuki looks good. Josh Anderson, he didn't have a great series, but you just swept the Jets and you took out the Maple Leafs without Josh Anderson really doing a lot. I mean, if he comes on, that's a huge bonus for you. The team looks like it's built well, but you're still going to have to make a couple of savvy moves, and you really need Caulfield to keep growing and some of these guys to take steps forward, where your older players are going to be eating up a lot of your cap. If you can keep filling in with some of those players, you're going to keep yourself relevant for a long time. Now, getting back into a division with Tampa and Boston and Carolina is going to be tough, but I think they've got the horses that they can compete. And if I'm saying is the arrow pointing up or down, I got to say the arrow is pointing up, especially looking at what Caulfield's been doing. I mean, you inserted him into that lineup, I think it was game three, and they've lost, what, one game since then? So it's hard to argue with. And the energy he brings, the playmaking ability, it's hard to find. And it makes me wish he was on the Flyers.
And they could totally use a player like that. I get the Cam York love. I think he's going to be a good player. If they do things right this offseason and obviously don't include York in some kind of package, I think he could be really useful on the lower pairings of our team if we were to get two legit defensemen, even one. But ultimately, this team has always lacked that kind of take over a game winger. And his one pass to Toffoli in overtime was huge.
That was unbelievable.
Like, he in overtime, he like shines. He's how old? Like, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And I know it's early, but like, you can't ask for much of a better start. And I'm a little jealous in that regard.
And on top of that, Kotkaniemi, who we didn't even mention, he kind of came into his own the last few weeks, and he looks good. And he's a guy that kind of flies under the radar. He's had some troubles early in his career, but between him and Caulfield being 20 years old, Anderson 27, they're in a decent spot. They really are.
Yeah, and I think you're right about Price. They go as he goes, and he's protected with some of those defensemen, and now they're sprinkling in these offensive guys, and it's a real friggin' shame because there's another team we got to contend with, and they're built more for the playoffs than they are the regular season, which ultimately it's what it's all about. I was trying to look up if Montreal and the Islanders had played in the Stanley Cup Finals, and I could not find it. Because it would have just been between 80 and 84, I believe, when the Islanders won their four in a row. And the Islanders, I know in 80 and 81, beat the Flyers and the Minnesota North Stars. And because the Canadiens had won in the late 70s, they had they got like a couple cups in there. Well, I know one was against the Flyers, one was against the Rangers. I thought there was one more. I'm not sure who it was against. I don't think that they had ever played, though, but there is a chance. It's an outside chance, if you ask me. But they're just such two older teams that I thought that'd be pretty cool. Just Montreal in general being in the Cup, because the last time they were in the Cup was what, when they won in 93?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. So, wow. I mean, yeah, so I don't know. That's interesting. I'm kind of glad they won. I'm getting on board with how this team plays. But do you think they're good enough to get past the Golden Knights?
I didn't think they were good enough to get past the Leafs. But at the same time, what I just saw the Leafs do to the the Golden Knights just do to the Avalanche. To me, they match up. The Golden Knights just play such a good brand of hockey that I think it kind of mirrors what the Canadians do. And if I'm stacking team versus team and similar kind of play styles, I got to give the edge significantly to the Golden Knights. I think they're a little bit deeper. The back end to me is pretty much the same. I might give the edge to the Golden Knights just because Petrie's a little unsure for game one. But goaltending, it's hard to pick against Carey Price. But at the same time, Marc-Andre, he's one of the better goaltenders we've seen in our lifetime.
That's the finalist this year.
Yeah, first time ever, which is kind of crazy. I didn't even realize that.
I definitely didn't know that. That's weird. Just as a finalist? First time as a finalist? Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I figured at some point during his Pittsburgh career, he had to be a finalist at some point. But yeah, first time ever. So, I mean, they're both playing incredibly well. I got to give the edge to the Golden Knights, though. I just think from top to bottom, they're a better team. And the Canadians did a great job of stifling the Jets and what they want to do. But I just don't think they have that same. I think they were equally as talented as the Jets. In this case, I think the Golden Knights are a more talented team.
Yeah, and I mean, not to put a prediction on it, but why not? Well, before we do that, how long do you think that Montreal's momentum, because they haven't lost, is going to stick with them in this series? Do you think they're just going to get hit in the mouth right away, or do you think they can sneak a couple of games out? Because I ultimately think that Knights are going to win this series. And do you think – I guess my question to you is, do you think it gets to game 5 and 6, potentially 7, or do you think that it will probably only be a short burst in the first game and then it'll, the Knights will probably do what they do best?
I mean, just based on the Canadians having watched that style of play from the North – no fans. To me, game one, being in Vegas, a full barn, I think the Canadians are going to come out a little shell-shocked. I just think that brand of hockey, the Knights throw their body around. You got Reeves, Kolesar. You got some heavy players. They play a heavy game. And the North, I don't think, plays that same style of hockey, or at least I didn't see it this year. I think between the combination of the building and the way the Golden Knights can kind of throw their body around, I see it being two easy wins for Vegas at home. And if the Canadians can really maybe get the two wins at home, then maybe they make it a series. But I think, to me, the Golden Knights win two at home, they get one on the road, and then I think game five, there's a pretty decent chance they close them out.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. It would be nice to see them continue this role, but I think they're going to start playing the really actually good teams. I think the North was a little deceptive.
Yes.
I think that open style of hockey definitely helped teams like Toronto and Edmonton. But when it comes to playoffs, one, Winnipeg's used to being in the playoffs. Montreal's kind of used to being in the playoffs too, maybe not as successful, but they also geared up this past offseason. And then you had guys, you know, like Caulfield, like other younger guys step up and do their thing, and Price is Price again. And that was definitely the difference. And then Toronto does what they do best, and that's unfortunate. As Flyers fans, we really have no room to talk, but they choke. Like, it is what it is. Like, they choke. At least they were there, but they choke. So, yeah, I got Golden Knights in. I got Golden Knights in 6, and I think I'm being nice. I could see them winning the first two games. Maybe they split the next two, and then I'm not sure if Montreal can get one more. I'm thinking that maybe there's an overtime game in there, and because they've been so good in overtime, maybe they do get that one more. But ultimately, I think it's a series that Vegas is in control of and just has to finally put them away, and maybe they'll give them a little bit of trouble. But and I wish I could find the episode, but we did our previews before the season started. I had the Golden Knights in Tampa Bay. I had Tampa Bay over the Golden Knights in the finals, and that could happen. And when you consider who both of these teams are playing, it could really happen.
That's impressive.
So, well, I'll see if it happens first, and we'll see if anybody believes me as well.
If I'm going to give an X factor for the series, I think you'll know a lot about both teams in the first 10 minutes of game one. That's where Montreal, if they can weather that storm, they might be able to make it a series. But I expect the Golden Knights to come out buzzing, and it wouldn't shock me if they put up 2 in the first 10 and kind of set the tone for the series from there.
With the defenses on both teams, with the goaltending on both teams, with some of the top names on both teams, do you think this is a series that could come down to the third and fourth lines, getting those chipping in offensively every now and then? Because I don't want to say they're even, because Vegas is definitely better. I think they can – if Montreal's going to win, they're going to need everybody to contribute, where I think Vegas could win with just the top guys contributing. Offensively, I mean.
Yeah, that's a good call. I could see that too. I think the Vegas could get by with just those those lines going. But if the Canadians are going to win, they need production from all four lines, and they're going to have to stifle the power play and guys like Mark Stone and Matt Pacioretty. I mean, Stone was a huge impact. So yeah, I think the Golden Knights could get by with just two, and the Canadians, they need production from everybody to win the series.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll see what happens. I think a lot of people are going to be in agreement besides Montreal fans. I don't blame them, but we'll see what happens there. Lightning and Canes. This series it didn't go how I thought it would go. That's for sure. Lightning take the first two. Hurricanes got the third game in overtime, and Lightning take the next two, and that was pretty much it. First three games were very close, like 2-1 games, and overtime game 3-2. Game four was probably the wildest. it's hard to say it was close, but like Hurricanes were up 4-2 at the end of the second, and then the Lightning scored three goals before that period ended. Got one more in the fourth to win that 6-4, and then in game five they shut them out 2-0. Your thoughts on this series? Because you had the Canes, so
I did, and I think I picked with the heart more so than with the head. I wanted to see the Canadians win. I thought the Hurricanes win. I thought they matched up well enough with Tampa to give them a series. And Nedeljkovic was less than stellar. He let in a couple of bad goals. Game two, I believe it was, or maybe it was game one, where he didn't hug the post. He kind of just went down weird, letting some bad goals. And really, that's kind of what bit them last year was goaltending, and it came back and reared its ugly head again. And on the flip side of that, Vasilevskiy played an unbelievable series. That game four, he gave up a couple quick ones, but he shut the door when they needed him to. The 2-1 wins in games one and two, and then he throws a shutout in game six. It was he was the star of that series to me. And then you look at Kucherov and Stamkos and Hedman and Sergachev. It's just so hard to get past a team like that, especially when your goaltending isn't up to snuff. And I think ultimately that's the area that, like you mentioned on High and Wide this week, you expect Brendan Moore back. I fully expect him back too. And to me, the Hurricanes, you got to address goaltending. I'm not saying you got to go out and give out a Bob-like contract, because we know that doesn't look very good, but you got to get someone in there that can stop the puck when it comes to playoff time. And Nedeljkovic had a great regular season. He had a great first round, but when push came to shove and you're playing a team like the Lightning, you need your goaltender to step up, and he didn't do it. They could have used a little more timely scoring from their forwards, but ultimately, I think Vasilevskiy shut the door and Nedeljkovic let the Canes down.
Yeah, and what sucks is this team's going to come back into our division next year.
Yep.
Yes, we're going to lose Boston. We're going to lose Buffalo. We're going to get Columbus back, who looks to probably going to have to go some kind of a rebuild, if not a full one. But we're going to get the Hurricanes back. When I look at Boston and look at the Hurricanes are in a much better position. It still depends on what Boston does. But Hurricanes, I want them to botch this offseason so badly. Like, I want them to have to let Dougie walk in some way. If Dougie walks and Brendan Moore walks, that's a win for us, depending on how they replenish that. Don't see Brendan Moore walking. Hamilton could walk, but if they take the money they would have paid Hamilton and, I don't know, acquire Lehner or, you know, get somebody legitimate in there and goal, that could really be the difference, because they're just so good defensively, team-wise. But ultimately, Tampa, and we'll get into this because they're in the next round here, Tampa, it's doing Tampa things. They're too much.
Money?
Yeah. how much are they over the cap? $18 million?
Just $18 million. Nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, and it's not their fault, which it's not. But come on, it's not deceptive at all. We know what's going on here. I just wanted to point out that of the teams that advanced, Montreal is a fourth seed. Golden Knights were a two seed. Lightning were a three seed. That's misleading. You want to talk about misleading? Tampa Bay is a three seed. That's misleading.
Yeah.
And the Islanders is a fourth seed. So no, all the one seeds are gone. You got a 1-2 and 1-3, and then there's 2-4s. That's your final four. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's why I love hockey, baby. If it was basketball, it'd be all one seeds, maybe a couple of twos. That's it. So I like that. But yeah, Tampa, they're just an absolute powerhouse. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We knew you did pick the Canes, so I don't want to, you know, make it look bad, but I truly believe that. And Jimmy said this in the first round. He had somebody, I think he might have had Florida beating them in seven, and he looked at the results and he was like, I picked Florida. Everybody else just knew better and took Tampa. it's kind of funny. Now, that's, I wouldn't say knew better for this series because, you know, Carolina, it was a very good team. There were things in that Nashville series that definitely made me not consider Carolina. You know, I think I said seven for Tampa, but I was never not taking Tampa. They're just everybody on that team is good. And we'll get into that when we get into the next round. So we'll move on. Bruins Islanders, Mass Mutual East Finals, essentially the 3 seed and the 4 seed. That's great. Bruins just don't want to help me. You know, I pick Washington, the Bruins take them out in 5 games. And then I picked the Bruins to win in 6, saying the Islanders will be chasing the series, and it looked to be like that. The Bruins took game 1, 5-2. The Islanders won in overtime a game – I'm sorry, Bruins took game 1. Islanders took game 2 in overtime. Bruins took the lead back in game 2 in overtime. And the it's something about game 4. Islanders went 4-1. Its series is tied. And then that game 5 and game 6 were all Islanders. Game 5 was a little bit closer, 5-4, but game 6 was it, 6-2. Islanders finish off the Bruins. Before we get into certain aspects, particularly with Bruce Cassidy had to say, your thoughts on this series. I believe you did have the Islanders winning, or did you have Boston?
I had Boston in 7. So, I mean, I looked at the two teams. I thought Boston – I thought they both played a similar enough style of hockey that I trusted Boston's depth a little bit more. I trusted the goaltending a little bit more. But ultimately the Islanders just played such a sound game. They got depth scoring. They shut down, like the thing that I thought they would have to do was shut down that perfection line. And it's almost like they punted on that and said, you know what? They're going to do what they're going to do. We're going to stifle the rest of the three lines and go from there. We know what the top line's going to put up. Just don't let the other lines beat us. Taylor Hall, I believe, had 1 goal, 1 assist. They did a great job of taking away all of the other options. Like McAvoy had a decent series, but like Craig Smith had 1 goal, 1 assist. Hall, 1 goal, 1 assist. Coyle had a goal, but they just didn't get production from anybody else. I mean, you look at the top line, they had 23 points between the three of them. And outside of that, just there wasn't much else. Krejci was the only other one that showed up. So I think the Islanders had a really good game plan going into it. Let those guys do what they do, and we're just not going to get beat by the other lines. And I thought they played well. Rask's injury, he had a torn labrum in his hip. To me, that's where you want to see Cassidy. I know he asked him, and Rask said, I can go. I'm ready. But to me, that's where you got to be a coach, and you got to say, look, I think at this point, Swayman gives us a better chance to win. A torn labrum in your hip for a goalie, that would be like a kicker having a broken ankle. Like, I don't know how you expect the guy to play at that level in the playoffs. And look, he didn't look terrible, but I don't think he played well enough for them to win. And at that point, that kind of injury, and in game five, Swayman came in and he let in 1 goal, but he still kept them in it. They were down 5-2 in that game. 5-2. And they almost came back and tied it and got it to overtime. So I wonder what would have happened in game 6 with a healthy Swayman, but the Islanders just played a solid game top to bottom.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard somebody say maybe they're just being a downer, but like this is another playoff series where something happened with Rask and he wasn't there for the team. And it's a little rough.
It's a low blow.
It just sounds like the fans are just done with him. And I maybe we'll get some answers about it. This is going to be one of the best off seasons in years. The only thing that sucks is that it's still a little bit of a flat cap. That should go away soon. But like, there's so many question marks for like every team. And with Boston, it's Krejci, it's Rask, it's Hall. Like, yeah, we sound like he might resign, but until he does, you know, even Riley, I think they're going to bring back because he played pretty well over the stretch.
And age too. They're an older team.
Yeah.
And you start bringing a couple of those guys back, they're not getting any younger.
Right.
So
it should be very interesting. If they move on from, I heard that they either re-sign Rask or he retires.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they're one and the same. If they're like, if they say we don't want you, and he goes, well, I'll just retire, or if he's like, I'm just gonna retire. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know how they're viewing it, but
yeah, he said he's either playing for the Bruins or retiring. He said he's not gonna play for anybody else. So I could see them bringing him back. But if not, I think that's it. And he's had a great career.
Yeah, we know Halak won't be back. I think they should bring him back. I don't know what they're going to pay him. You're going to see them start to hand the reins more to Swayman, obviously. And maybe they save some money on Rask if he's only around for a year and he's already got one foot out the door talking about retirement like that, which is something you never do. If anybody watched UFC last night, Damian Maia has one foot out the door in the UFC and he did not put on much of a show. His single leg takedown was – he didn't even change his game plan. Like, you could just tell he was – yeah, and won money on that fight. But yeah, if you have one foot out the door, if you're the Bruins, can you pay him something legitimate? Like, no, I wouldn't at all. He was making $7 million, wasn't it?
I mean, the way I look at it, if I'm the Bruins, I say, we'll bring you back at 1 year for $5 million. Take it or leave it.
And that's not terrible.
I don't think that's an insult to him. And I don't think that necessarily hampers you from signing other free agents. Do you want to hand the reins over to Swayman and Vladar? Like, right now, I'd rather see Rask in there for another year, give them some seasoning. But if they can get him at $5 million, to me, that seems fair for him, seems fair for them. And at least you get his mentorship for some of the young guys.
Yeah, because they got to re-sign Hall, which we will see what he makes. And they sounded like they want to. And excuse me, I thought they wanted Krejci back. I don't know. Maybe it just comes to a number game at that point. But they're just a team to watch. They won't be in our division next year, but they will be in the East. And they're always a pain when we play them. So I guess we'll see. We're not done with the series, however, though. I do want to get into the Hit and Bruce Cassidy. We'll start with Bruce Cassidy. I'm just going to read it here. His comments after game 5, was it?
I believe it was. No, it might have been game 4.
Wait, game 4.
Game 4, yeah, because it was 5 and 6. Yep.
Okay, gotcha. So after game 4. So that was one of those games where you saw the tide turning. And this is hilarious, but he goes, I think what happens, and this is my take on it, is we're playing a team that has very respected management coaching staff, Cassidy said. They won a Stanley Cup. Oh, the staff he's referring to. But I think they sell a narrative over there, and it's more like the New York Saints, not the New York Islanders. They play hard. They play the right way. But I feel we play the same way. The exact calls that are getting called on us do not get called on them, and I don't know why. These are very good officials. They're at this point in the season for a reason. Maybe we need to sell them more, flop, but that's not us. You just hope they see them. The same calls go against us. It's not like I'm sitting there going, every call against us sucks. That's not true. It's just at the end of the day, the similar plays, they need to be penalized on those plays. But like I said, I think they've done a great job selling that narrative that they're clean. They play hard, a hard brand of hockey. Love the way they play, but they commit as many infractions as we do. Trust me, it's just a matter of calling them. That's the part, I guess, gets frustrating, but you play through it. End quote. Your thoughts on what Cassidy said before we go into everything?
The funny thing is, the Brendan Moore got fined $25,000 last year. Cassidy got fined $25,000 this year, and it was both the same ref both times, Francis Charron. So
somebody said that, yeah.
Maybe there's something there. But look. If I'm a coach and my team is struggling, we're taking a couple more penalties than the other team, I don't think there's anything wrong with him coming out and saying that and shifting the focus from your team to something different, the change of the narrative a little bit. Did it work out? It doesn't look like it. And you got to know that when you say something like that in the media, you're going to take flack for it. And when you play in that team's building, you're going to take a lot of flack for it. And that's kind of what happened. So I'll give credit to Cassidy for saying what's on his mind. I don't think he said anything that was necessarily bad. He didn't curse anybody out. He didn't call anybody out by name. And to me, there were a couple of times where I saw penalty calls on the Bruins that it seemed like the Islanders were getting away with similar things. So maybe he had something there, but I like a coach standing up for his team and kind of giving them something else to look at. Maybe in the media, we know the media is reactionary, so give them something else to talk about. Ultimately, I think the Islanders just played a harder brand of hockey, and it showed in the end. The depth for the Bruins came to light. No Carlo in the last couple games. Tenorti was just okay. Grizzlick, he had a rough series, especially game six. So I'll give Cassidy credit, but you got to back it up. Your team's got to come out and back it up in the next game, and I didn't feel like they did that.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It looks like he's complaining, he's crying, but in the playoffs, it is a mind game of such. I do think it was a little – it did come off a bit whiny. It's just because it's more – it's not Cassidy's fault completely. I just feel like the Bruins have always been that, like, that team. Like, you know, you got Marchand on your team, for God's sake. And would I want him on my team? Yeah, the guy puts up points. He just does. Like, and he's been doing it since he was a third liner with the team. You know, so – but he's a slew foot guy. You know, like, play unrelated, regular season, they're out there playing, like, Vancouver or something, and he slew-foots a guy, and a guy falls and gets hurt because that's a real cheap play, and you're going to complain about another team? That's kind of like, okay, come on. But it's the playoffs, so I get it. These kind of things just kind of make me laugh and chuckle. I'm more like, yeah, man, he's going to get fined, and that's the part that bothers me, because these officials, they can just do whatever they want. There's no
yeah, there's no repercussion for it.
Yeah, no repercussions, no accountability. Listen, the Rangers are our rivals, but when they got fined $250,000 for questioning the Department of Player Safety, it's like, it's serious. That's how we are with authority. You question authority, you get slapped like that. It's like you're some kind of great industry and does everything by the book and right. Like, no, you're an absolute joke. Everybody knows it. Like, the guy running it is a guy who shouldn't be running it. They very rarely, outside of maybe Brendan Shanahan, have never really picked the right guy. It's a revolving door position, which is not good, you know. And but you're gonna have the audacity to find somebody that much money? Like, I get a part of it. You shouldn't have an open forum of crapping on all the officials and, you know, everybody in the industry. I get that, but at the same time, like, why do we all gotta pretend we're stupid? So I don't know. It makes me scratch my head. Ultimately, I get what you're saying, why he made the comments. I'm okay with it. The New York Saints thing was funny.
It was funny.
Yeah. I can't, when he says we play the same kind of hockey, I'm like, maybe this series, but not always. Like, Islanders, and I get the whole selling a narrative thing. That's a real thing. If you go into a game with a mindset, this team plays, they play the right way. They do it. You know, I can see, you know, these guys are human. I get that. And we saw by, like, the McAvoy hit, which was, in retrospect, genius, because you, as you alluded to, Grizzlick had a pretty rough series, particularly game six. He was okay in game six until McAvoy went out, and his minutes had that. He looked like Justin Braun on the top pair. Like,
oh, he was brutal.
And ultimately, what's he going to do? He's not used to having those kind of minutes, that kind of responsibility. And that was it. And that was a cheap hit. I don't know. People were saying he dove. Oh, come on, man.
That was a bad hit. I agree.
Yeah. And it's just, and nothing. Like, did he get fined or anything? Or just nothing. A fine? Or
they said it was clean.
Nothing. Wow. Yeah. The puck wasn't anywhere near him or nothing, but not. Yeah. So again, no clue what the rule is. It's like a catch in football. Just hold your breath, or goaltender interference for that matter. Just hold your breath and hope for the best possible result, because nobody has any guidelines or anything to go by. Just hold your breath and get ready to be happy about it or complain about it. 9 times out of 10, we're all complaining about it. So that's kind of stupid and silly. Yeah, but Islanders shut them down, like you said. I think you said it perfectly when you said, we're just going to let the top line do what they do. We're going to try to keep it close, which is what the Islanders do, is keep games close. And we'll beat them with the rest of our lineup, and our they have some of the best center depth in the league. Cizikas is going to potentially be a free agent. He's been rumored to be a guy maybe Fletcher looks at. If they can afford it and still address their actual needs, I'm all about it. I just don't know if they can. Maybe if Patrick's out of here, not that that would save cap space, but it would save a roster position for potentially bringing somebody like that in. Don't know what he'd be making on the open market. I think Blake Coleman's name was dropped as well. I like Casey Cizikas as well. He's the kind of guy who can – it's like that, like, third-string corner who runs back a six pick six. You know, like he just like he had a he's just a hardworking guy. Gives it his all, has the ability to score, and has it timely scoring. And that's another thing. The Islanders got timely scoring this season. And Boston, as you notated here very well, they broke down. Grizz, like we talked about. And, yeah, as I was alluding to, the Islanders' depth showed up, and they had a good game plan. Barzal got going. Bailey's another guy who doesn't get talked enough about with the Islanders. So, yeah, they looked good. The better team definitely won amidst the crying. But I will ask, what do you give their chances against the Islanders, which we'll find out in about a half hour that game will start?
I just think Tampa is too skilled, too deep. I mean, you got Sergachev playing on their third defensive pairing. They're just such a strong team. And look, if I go goalie to goalie, I'm going to take Vasilevsky versus Varlamov. Varlamov had a great series, but it's Vasilevsky. So I'm taking him there. Kucherov, like Kucherov, Stamkos, Point, Palat. I got to take those guys over Barzal, Komarov, and Eberle. And then you've got Yanni Gord, Goodrow, and Coleman on the third line. Stamkos on the second. Like, I just think top to bottom, Tampa's a much better team, a much more skilled team. And, yeah, I think the Islanders are going to try and bang bodies, try and impose their will that way. But the Lightning aren't a small team. I think they can weather that storm. Like Ross Colton, who the hell is that guy? And he's scoring big goals for them. He scores the insurance goal in game six. They're rolling right now. If the Islanders can stay out of the box, I will give them a chance. Their penalty kill hasn't been great. But they haven't been taking a lot of penalties, so that's helped out. But if you put the Lightning on the power play with those guys, you're basically rolling the dice and you're probably not going to win. I just think overall the Lightning are a stronger team from the top to the bottom, and I just can't see a way that the Islanders win this without playing perfect hockey.
This is the third time in 4 years that Barry Trotz and John Cooper have faced off in this round. They currently sit 1-1 against each other, with Barry Trotz winning with a different team. That was with Washington Capitals. It's also a rematch of last year. It's hard to argue with anything you essentially said, because if I put the tail of the tape up here, I take Trotz over Cooper. And pretty much nothing else. Like, you know what I mean? Everything else is Tampa. Even the cap. They spent more money. That's true, too. They went there. These two teams really could not be more different roster-wise. As we know, as you alluded to, Lightning are just loaded. I mean, just listen. Like Kucherov, Stamkos, Braden Point, Victor Hedman, Sorelli, Coleman, Gord, Palat. Even Tyler Johnson was going again a bit. Killorn, like, it is insane. And they have more guys than that, too, that we would take on the Flyers any day of the week. While I can name Islanders players as well, they're not in the same stratosphere as some of these guys. You know, even this – I look at the center depth. I'm trying to throw the Islanders a bone. Like, maybe center depth. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't – I wouldn't say one better than the other, but it's close. It's just too close to call. And it's insane. I mean, so offensively, advantage goes to the Lightning. Defensively, I'm going to give it to the Islanders because they play a more system defensive game, but I don't think that any names are going to jump out. Like, I guess I like Pelech. Like, he's really developing into a hell of a defenseman. Pulak has one hell of a shot. I think all those guys throw the body around, except for I'd say Boychuk still throws the body around as well. Am I thinking of Boychuk or am I thinking of Letty?
Nick Letty. Boychuk. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm thinking of Letty. I know they got him at the same time. I remember that. Yeah. Letty. He's not one to usually do that, but if asked to, he will, which is something the Flyers never do. But again, you know, the name-wise, Victor Hedman is probably one of the best defensemen, if not the best defenseman in the league. As you said, Sergachev is on the third pairing. They still got McDonough. Like, it's ridiculous. So while I give the advantage to – I feel like I'm being nice to the Islanders for the team play. Is it really that much of an advantage? And then goaltending is, I don't say, it's not fair to say by far, but I just think that Vasilevsky, he's a Vezina finalist as well, I believe, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So it was him, Grubauer, and Macron J. Fleury. Yeah. So, I mean, he's more, he could be on a bad team and be a good goaltender, which I don't know if I could say that for Varlamov, and Sorokin's a little too young. But yeah, so I'm giving that advantage to the Lightning. Special teams, again, Lightning, just because of the power play. Like, it's got to be insane. It would be interesting to see the power play versus the penalty kill, but I'm taking – they can roll out three units if they wanted to of legitimate power play. But the scary part is the first one. And listen, I like what the Islanders can do. They're going to be overmatched. They're going to be outmatched, overpowered. It's going to be ridiculous. I guess we'll make our predictions. I feel like I'm being nice again. I'll say Lightning in six. Wouldn't surprise me if they won in five. I would be surprised if the Islanders don't eke out at least one. Do you disagree with anything I laid out there?
No, I've got the Lightning in six as well. I think the Islanders are good enough to win two games, but I just can't see them beating the Lightning four times. And it's kind of cool. Someone sent this to me this week. You got the two pretty much the best Russian goalies in the league right now up against each other. And in the other series, you got two of the best Canadian goalies up against each other. So Russia versus Canada in the finals, one way or the other. But like, if I look at both of these teams and let's account for maybe an injury here or there, I think the Lightning could withstand an injury pretty much anywhere. You saw Kucherov out all year. They still were really good on defense. Sergachev could move up if, say, Hedman got hurt. But like the Islanders, they're kind of, you need Wahlstrom back. If he comes back and he can contribute, that'll help. But like line to line, for the forwards, I give the advantage pretty much across the board to the Lightning. Maybe the fourth line, just because the fourth line for the Islanders has been playing together for a while and they have some good chemistry. But like defense, Hedman's head and shoulders to me above anybody else in the series. I love Sergachev and McDonough. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the Islanders. I think they're a good team. I think I may have underestimated them throughout the year. They don't play the most exciting brand of hockey, but they get the job done. But anyway, I slice this thing, I just can't see the Islanders beating them four times.
Yeah, that's what it is. To beat them once, I'm already like, I think they can get one. But four? No. I mean, come on. I'm being nice saying six because they made it to this point. But when I look at X factors for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and even this feels like a reach, only thing I can think of is health. And it's like, yeah, as you just alluded to, there's always another guy to step up. So if Vasilevskiy got hurt, maybe then there's something there. But I still think the team overall is so good that they could do their best to cover up for it to at least get by. So it's like they could lose Stamkos and Kucherov and still be more offensively talented. It's absolutely insane. Islanders would really need Vasilevskiy to get hurt and maybe a guy on defense for it to be an X factor. I'm going with health as the X factor for Tampa, but I know that it feels like a reach. It's not the best, but that's how good they are. That's what happens when you're $18 million over the cap. As for the Islanders, I think their defense is going to be their defense. I think one of the goalies should step up and be the goalie. I don't think they should keep switching. I don't think it's necessarily a disadvantage, but I think it's more of an advantage if one takes the reins, and I think it should be Varlamov. He's the veteran goalie. And just, this is my net for the rest of the playoffs, and I'm going to do my best to shut this team down. And because I just feel like it's a confidence thing, letting guys sit, bringing them back in and all that. And you can't with this team. You can't. And I think Barzell's got to be Barzell. Olivier's got to step back up. I think Bailey's got to keep rolling. I don't think there's one player. Brock Nelson could contribute like he did in the Boston series. That would go a long ways. But I don't think there's one player they can point out here. They're going to need to get scoring from all over, much like Tampa's going to already do and always has done.
Yeah, that's the thing. You count on Tampa to get scoring up and down their lineup, contributions from the defense. And if you're the Islanders, that's what you're hoping for. You need that in order to contend here. Now, if you put a healthy Anders Lee and a healthy Oliver Wahlstrom in the lineup, then there's a scenario where I could see the Islanders coming out and taking it and beating the Lightning and beating them four times in a series. But without that, I just don't think there's enough there. Like Zajac on your third line, Komarov on your first. How are you going to beat a Lightning team that's as strong as they are with those guys in your lineup? I don't want to take anything away from them, but they're not Kucherov, Point, Palat, Sorelli. They're not any of those players at this point in their careers. Like Eberle is a nice player, but I just think the tail of the tape says the Lightning, and really, if it gets to six, I think the Islanders should consider that a solid series. I mean, no, there's no moral victories in the playoffs, but six, I think, is the maximum games here.
So I wanted to ask you, what is the difference in teams with the Lightning and the Islanders this year compared to when they played last year, besides the obvious COVID stuff? Like, personnel-wise, can you think of anything that really jumps out?
Well, no Palmieri, no Zajac. You had Anders Lee. Other than that, pretty much the same team, I believe. Then on the flip side, the Lightning, they had no Stamkos. He played, what, one game in the playoffs or something?
Yeah.
And pretty much the same team. You added Savard, and yeah, Ross Colton came up, but he's on your fourth line. I mean, that you're pretty much dealing with the same Lightning team plus Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, and I actually think Colton's not bad.
I agree.
The guy I work with actually knows him. Like, he tells me every time he scores, and it's more often than I thought. And yeah, so you add a healthy and fresh Stamkos,
and a healthy Kucherov. I mean,
yeah,
Kucherov had hip surgery.
He's fresh and healthy. He's not banged up.
Yeah.
Although I don't know how banged up he was because of the stoppage, but still, like, Stamkos not healthy. Stamkos was not healthy. We knew that, even with the stoppage. So fully healthy, fresh Stamkos. And Savard, they added to their defense. Colton, a guy on the fourth line who has contributed. And on the Islanders side, there's no Anders Lee, but you have Zajac and Palmieri. Like, maybe Wahlstrom in there, but he might not be in there. Like, that's – I'd rather have Anders Lee, obviously. It's then the Tampa won four games to two. They won in six games last year, and they are considerably better this year. I think they're more rested. Like, they just – everything points to the same exact result, unless maybe Tampa wins in five. You know, it's just everything's there. Anders Lee's their captain as well. Like, I guess Sorokin didn't really play last year either, but I don't think he's going to be playing much this year. Was Varlamov on the team last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember when Leonard was out. It must have been 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2 years.
Yep. All right. So Varlamov's still there. Played better this year than he did last year. I think he still played good last year, but he was better this year. Especially early. Yeah, I guess they got a better backup goalie that they could be interchangeable, but all signs point to Tampa. I think everybody's in on that. If Tampa were to lose, the only thing that can go right for the Islanders, it's got to be health. I can't see them – that or Varlamov becomes Dominik Hasek. Like, I really don't know how else it happens. Like, even if one of the – Barzal went off, became Peter Forsberg or something, I still don't think it's enough.
Yeah, like I said, there you can play it out many different ways, and every scenario that the Islanders could win, you're talking about someone playing way above their normal skill level or what you normally see. Yeah, there's that mantra that a goalie can steal a series, but I don't think the Lightning are a team where your goalie is going to be able to steal a series from them. Your goalie is going to need to make a lot of big time saves, but at the same time, they have so much firepower. They're still going to score. Varlamov could be Dominik Hasek, and you're still going to be able to score goals with that team. I just can't see a scenario that it plays out in the Islanders' favor.
Yeah, and that's really all I have to say about that. I think it's pretty cut and dry. We'll see how it goes. First game's starting about 9 minutes right now. Any predictions for tonight's game?
I'm going to say Tampa comes out. I'm going to give them a 4-1 win. I think they come out, they're playing hard, they're in their own building. I just see them taking it to the Islanders tonight. I think the Islanders are going to come out first 10 minutes. I think they're going to come out strong. They're going to come out hitting, but once Tampa settles in, I think the skill takes over and they end up beating them.
I'm going to say 6-2 Tampa.
Oh, baby. All right.
Six is a lot for the type of team that the Islanders roll out, but I think there's going to be that period of figuring things out. And I just think I think they're going to take penalties. I think Tampa's going to capitalize. I think the Islanders are going to have questions after game one. But ultimately, they know all the answers. They're just not – and it'd be the same if it were any other team, really. Like, you know, it's not – I'm not poo-pooing them or anything here. It's just – it is what it is. So, yeah. And Steven, you got anything else this week?
That's it. That's I mean, I'd love to see two game sevens, but I think at the end of the day, we both see six is the most on both of these series, and hopefully we get a Vegas-Tampa final, and I think that would be one of your better ones that we've seen for a while.
Yeah, it should definitely be high scoring, so that should be interesting. So we'll see what gets there first. We'll see how tonight goes. With that, that'll finish up the show this week, guys. Please remember to check out the main show with myself, Jimmy, and Kyle. Sheriff with Kyle and Sean McMorrow. They are pumping out content at a very high rate. I can't even keep track of who the last guests they had on. They have so many. Please check that out. HW website at hwhockey.net. Our articles and shows are all on there, as well as our staff predictions. We are on the full press coverage app. We are on the Belly Up Sports page as well. High and Wide YouTube hockey channel. Please check that out as well. All of our shows are on there, as well as Jimmy's new show, in case you missed it, coming to you daily. So look out for that tomorrow as well. And that'll do it this week, guys. Let's see how the games go, and we will catch up with you guys next time.